Well, my text is in John chapter 2, verse 25. Jesus did not need man's testimony about man, or our testimony about us, or man's testimony about mankind, whatever version you've got. The reason being, he knew what was in a man. Jesus has just performed the marriage miracle, if you like, the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And John insists on calling this the first sign. He calls the miracles signs, pointing to something, in fact, pointing to who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's the one who was there at creation. He is the one who, at his name, every knee will bow. His name not being the five letters of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, but his name, that he is sovereign Lord of all. At his name, every knee will bow. And inevitably, because he's done some miracles, then, mesmeric, charismatic leaders will always attract a crowd, and people come. And they believe, whether it's Dynamo the Magician or Darren Brown or John the Baptist, or in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ, the crowds come. And having seen, they believe. This man can do circus stunts. This man does tricks. And they believe. Now, I heard an old preacher just last week saying that there was a kind of faith which he labelled commercial faith. The sort of faith where people say, God, you do this, look, and I'll believe. You don't do it, I won't. The kind of thing that the atheistic biology professor Will Provine years ago said, well, if God would just part the river, God part the river, I believe. Or Woody Allen, the film director, saying, well, God, if you just cough now then, so I can hear you, I'll believe. That kind of commercial faith. But of course, we see in the Bible, in Exodus, for instance, all those miracles, miracle after miracle, and yet very few actually are trusting God at the end. Anyway, so here's the crowd. They're starting to follow Jesus because he can do these miracles. But Jesus, you notice, is not taken in. He did not entrust himself to them, the text says. He wasn't fooled by their enthusiasm. Why not? Because though they said they believed, Jesus did not rate their confession. He didn't rate it. He wasn't duped by their zeal. Why not? Because he didn't need man's testimony about man. He knew what was in a man and a woman, a boy and a girl. Now, the last few weeks, loads of leaflets have come through my door begging me to vote for their candidate in the local elections. It's very depressing to read the blurb. If elected, I will stamp out antisocial behaviour, reduce hospital waiting lists, root out corruption in government, keep community schools open, improve bus services, cut crime. I couldn't help thinking, where's the kryptonite? If this person's elected, this is Superman. This is Superman. This person thinks, if elected, they can achieve what all the others have failed to do over the years. We've seen, haven't we? And we've heard an excess of 58,000, was it? An excess of 58,000 was spent on decorating a flat, which means the total amount is much more than it cost to buy my house. But here we are. An excess of 58,000 is spent in a time, or at a time, when there are people needing food banks in our country. And yet our leaders apparently think that they can lash out vast quantities of money on deco. And of course, it's a simple question. Who paid the 58 grand? A very simple question. Apparently not. Boris's opponents, his enemies, want an inquiry. Because, well, if this is true, this smacks of dishonesty in politics. Shock, horror. Dishonesty in politics? What? Our Prime Minister's not squeaky clean? He's not as squeaky clean as Mr. Cameron and Mr. Blair were. Oh, actually, they weren't squeaky clean either. Why not? Well, what's the problem? The MPs are people like you and like me. We're all the same. We cannot be trusted. Jesus is telling us here, we cannot be trusted. He couldn't trust the people. He can't trust you. He can't trust me. And so he would not entrust himself to them. even though they were an enthusiastic bunch that were following him. Why? Because he knew what was in them. He knows what you are like. This is a chilling thought. He knows what you are like deep inside, when nobody else can probe. He knows. And amazingly, he loves. Now, this is love. You won't find this anywhere else. You won't find this in Hollywood or Mills and Boone. This is love. He knows what we like deep inside and still loves us. And he knows at this very second how you were reacting to that truth. You know, two businessmen shake hands on a deal. They hope they can trust the other one on this occasion. But regarding me and Jesus, he does not trust me, and he can't trust me. And there are thousands and thousands of instances where I just demonstrate my untrustworthiness, and you do the same. Of course, I might try and deny it or skate over it, minimize the seriousness of it, but wonderfully, even though I'm not trustworthy, he is. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, didn't he? He had a reputation as a very, very gentle pastor. He'd been a rough slave trader, as you know, but when he was converted, then he had a reputation as a very gentle pastor. But one day a man was complaining to John Newton about somebody else's sins. And John Newton, in the end, said to him, "You complain about their sins, yet your thoughts are so full of self-righteousness and pride. Are you any better? Let me ask you, regarding the sleaze in politics, you any better? Are you? Maybe in the details, but no better in essence, are you?" But I have a hunch that some of you listening, you think you are better. And that's a big problem. It's a big mistake to make. See, in Proverbs 20, the question is asked, "Who can say I've kept my heart pure and free from sin?" Answer, nobody. Proverbs 24, "An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips." Why? Why is an honest answer like a kiss on the lips? Because it's so rare, that's why. So rare. See, it's not just that I don't trust you. I don't trust me. I don't trust me. That's why only Jesus Christ can help us. That's why only Christ can save us. Because if my religion, whatever religion, and there are thousands and thousands of religion, if my religion requires me to do something meritorious, if my religion relies on me being trustworthy, then it's useless. It's fake. It's a blind alley. Do you see that? If my religion relies on me being trustworthy, it's hopeless. See, 4 years ago was the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral for debate. Nobody ever came to debate, if you remember. But in 2017, 4 years ago, it was the anniversary. The Pope was very well aware of it, and so he got his retaliation in first by saying, in remembering the 500 years since the Reformation, he was going to meet with Protestant leaders on a journey of reconciliation. This was a new opportunity to mend a critical moment in history. Are you listening so far? To mend a critical moment in history by moving beyond the controversies which prevent us from understanding. Moving beyond the controversies. But the controversies are about salvation. It's about how to get to heaven, though. The controversy was basically, is it all about grace? In other words, does Jesus do it all? Or is it a cooperative venture between me and God? See, it's a massive difference. I was reading just last week in my Bible, in the Old Testament, Abner kills Asahel, if you remember the story. Then Joab kills Abner. And then I look at my newspaper and Dominic Cummings and Boris Johnson, and I just think, nothing has changed. We're still the same. Jesus did not come here to offer us advice about the universal problem. Anthony Hopkins had a an Oscar or something the other day. One of his films I've never seen, the title is horrible, The Human Stain. It just says it all, doesn't it? The Human Stain. No, Jesus didn't come here to offer us advice about the human stain, about our sin. He came to bring good news. He is the good news. He was willing to be counted with the criminals and crucified at Calvary. He was willing to be treated as the scum of the earth, willing to absorb the full quota of the wrath of his heavenly Father. Why? Why so much anger? Because Almighty God is not angry with some lack of knowledge on my part, some ignorance or some misunderstanding. He's angry with my self-centered refusal to listen to his son. Are you listening? See, God's floodlights on, full. But people like me and you, we just choose to shut our eyes. Luke 19, when Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and he weeps, if you remember. He comes to Jerusalem, but the crime of the crowds was this, refusing to recognize the time of Christ's visit. God was coming to town, and for the most part, it was all right, but it wasn't amazing. What about you? Some of you know what is so amazing about grace in your own experience. Praise God, tremendous. But not all of you. He doesn't need my testimony about me. He doesn't need your testimony about me. He knows me. In 1965, in London, Billy Graham was preaching to a vast crowd, 30,000, whatever it was, and there were two guys, non-Christian guys sitting at the back. They didn't know each other, they just happened to sit next to each other. And Billy began to preach the gospel, that God has a testimony about people. He's against them because of their sin. And on Billy preached, preaching the cross. You need to repent and believe the gospel. You need to trust Jesus. And then he called people to get up, leave your seats, come forward, and we'll pray for you. And one of the two guys got up to go forward. He took a few steps forward from his seat, and then he came back and spoke to the other guy. And he said this, "Here's your wallet. I only came here tonight to pick pockets, but I want to be saved." And he walked forward. See, he had to give the wallet up now, didn't he? Because he was repenting. Now, maybe you think you're not a thief. God says you are. You've robbed him. You've robbed him every day of your life, every second. But just like that pickpocket, what is wonderful is you can be forgiven now. You can be changed. You can be accepted. You can be guaranteed a place in heaven. And all that can happen today, all that can happen now, right here, right now. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to atone for every vile, stinking sin I've ever, ever committed in my life. To all who received him, the Bible says, he gives the right to become children of God. That's what I'm offering to you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And I urge you, take it while you still can. Amen. We'll close with a song.